We want the community to own the rules mm-hmm. and have a part in maintaining them, where people actually feel they need to be updated because they're out of date and the sport is constantly changing. So we need to move forwards into the 21st century and understand that there are technology changes, you know, bike changes, equipment changes. It's about time that the rules were made much more concise, much more clear, so that it's not about interpretation and opaque processes, but you know, it's about a good discourse between organizer and racer.
Hi, this is Dawn, a very unlikely ultra cyclist, and you're listening to the Just Bikes podcast from The Metal Set. Stay tuned as I'll be chatting with friends and fellow cyclists about all things bikes. That's ultra, adventure, gravel, mountain biking, and all sorts of type 2 fun. Hello, and welcome to part 2 of our 2-part episode on Via Race, a new 4,000-kilometer self-supported bikepacking race set to kick off this July from southern Spain. If you haven't listened to part 1 yet, I do suggest that you do that, as this is a continuation of our chat with Ingeborg and Ian, the organizers of Via Race. It is linked in the show notes. In part 2, we discuss the evolution of ultra cycling, the role of technology, the rules, and linked to the rules, the importance of transparency when it comes to a fair and safe adventure. We also chat about who signed up for chapter 1 of the race, and in addition to Neil sharing his prep and routing choices, part 2 will feature the voices of some of those participating. Thank you to Saz, Olivier, and Ben for sharing their voices and perspectives, which I have included at the end. So please stay tuned following our chat with Ingeborg and Ian to hear from those three cyclists themselves. I'll link to their socials in the show notes. Also in the show notes are links to the race, Neil's contact details, including more info on Dot Booster Academy, as well as links to the race partners. And with that, here is part 2 of the story of Via Race. I hope you like it. We talked about many different elements of the race and how things are different. I guess all of this is a response to what you felt needed to be changed, right? Like in the ultra cycling world. And Neil and I have often had these discussions about, you know, for me, when I think about a race, I think one of the things that's really important for me is clarity on the route, you know, what kind of surface, like very plain language. And I think it's very important, particularly for women, to have very clear understanding about what they're getting into. And sometimes when things are like, haha, oh, cute, you know, being cutesy to like hide information, I'm like, no, do not surprise me on this race, or do not mislead me about what I'm prepared to do, because it helps inform like how you prepare for it and how you prepare your bike and everything. So sorry, just going back, my big roundabout way of asking is like, what things, not necessarily for this race, but in general, did you think needed to be changed within the ultra cycle community?
I think another really important part of ultra cycling, which having spoken to many both ultra cyclists and also race organizers, is the rules. Many organizers feel like we are almost stuck in the past, and it's a bit cultish about how we view rules which were set up 10 years ago, which aren't necessarily fit for purpose now. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they aren't even rules, and it's open to a lot of interpretation, and there's been lots of controversy over particular judgments in some of the biggest, most famous ultra cycling races, not just last year, but in the previous few years. So I think there's a big need by the community, which is being expressed, for clarity of the rules. So we've mm-hmm. Talked to quite a few different people, you know, real figureheads in the community, differing backgrounds, and come up with a set of 8 rules rather than, you know, your traditional 10 rules, mm-hmm. and really made sure that they're very clear and they're founded in common sense, but also the law. So mm-hmm. we believe that the basis of the rules, especially for the road, is about obeying the law. But it's really about being kind. It's mm-hmm. about being kind to each other, you know, as races, being kind to other people in general, the public, and being kind to the environment as well. Mm-hmm. So one of our rules is very simple, is leave no trace, is don't litter. The rest are either about obeying traffic laws, about obeying mandatory routing, and the unsupported nature of what's in essence ultracycling.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made it as simple as possible, as short as possible, and as clear as possible. And we haven't really had any feedback yet where anybody disagrees with us. And we do open it up to challenge, because we don't want to own these rules. We want the community to own the rules
mm-hmm.
and have a part in maintaining them, where people actually feel they need to be updated because they're out of date, and the sport is constantly changing. So we need to move forwards into the 21st century and understand that there are technology changes, you know, bike changes, equipment changes, it's about time that the rules were made much more concise, much more clear, so that it's not about interpretation and opaque processes, but you know, it's about a good discourse between organizer and racer. If anything goes wrong, and mm-hmm. anything unexpected happens, we can have a good talk about it and agree what happened, why, and if there needs to be any adjustment to time, then it's transparent in terms of the decision that's made, and it's agreed not just between organizer and racer, but the other racers around that particular position. So if somebody comes third and they make a mistake, and it's an honest mistake because they happen all the time, it's 4,000 kilometers, lots of things go wrong,
mm-hmm.
Do second and fourth agree with the time adjustment? Do they think it's fair? Do they agree with the conclusion? So that's how we see the rules being much more modern.
That's one aspect. Yeah, you touched on clarity of rules, but you also touched on process there, and I think clarity of process
mm-hmm.
is an important one. As the sport moves forward, we need to understand that process needs to be clear, unambiguous, and equally applied.
Yes, equally applied, I think, is something that has resonated with many. Not saying that is easy to achieve, but I think, you know, there are something that we've chosen to do. For example, it's been historically the thing to have dot watchers that are volunteers who sort of keep track on whether riders are sticking to the rules and the route, and whether anything is happening. That can be very subjective.
Mm.
You know, I think it was a very good idea when it was set up. Technology wasn't tracking very well, and for safety, it could have a really good reason. But I think today it is probably more fair and equal to have that done by technology, if you like, the tracking mm-hmm. which is there, and the fact that the sport now has a lot more spectators, so things do get called out, and you know, you want to listen to what different people are seeing, and then have, as Ian said, a transparent and fair process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have partnered with a newly emerging technology company, who are ultra cyclists themselves, and that's where we originally met them. And they've done some very big races, so they are very experienced. They have a huge love for the sport, and they decided to set up their own company last year to offer all the functionality that they wish they had and their spectators had. So they are working very hard, and you'll see their technology. It's a company called Madcap. They have announced themselves very recently, based in Paris, and they have already got a number of races who've signed up to their technology. So there's some really exciting things that they're doing, very clever functionality on offer, you know, boosting refresh rate of trackers, doing, you know,
something as simple as having an app, which is how we normally use our phones these days. So that's quite exciting.
Having a very easy to use user interface.
So many of these things mean that, you know, we think there are places to where we can move forward and try to have different approaches to how we achieve fair competition, good experience, and then, you know, ultimately everyone should have an adventure. I mean, that is what it is about, whether you're really racing at the front or whether you're racing the time limit and racing your own limits.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you talk about the trackers, because often, like, when I'm looking at them, I'm like, this feels like the equivalent of a fax machine, you know? It seems so old school. And then there's always some inevitable, you know, the tracker stops working, there's speculation around what the person's doing, what's happened to them. So excited to see this new technology. The race first came on my radar because Chris Thomas, who is my own personal hype man, he is the person I credit with getting me into ultra cycling, is doing the race. And Chris is a regular ultra cyclist, you know, like in terms of regularly does it. He's not a regular person by any stretch, but he is often, you know, he's on the scene. He does a lot of races. Talk me through, how many people have signed up for the first edition for chapter one, and who all is doing it? What's the profile of the participants?
So we've got about 150 participants who've signed up for the first chapter. The profile of the rider, I think Chris Thomas is a good example. There are lots of people who have been around, done different races. They're well known in their respective communities. Who have, you know, if we think about some of the feedback, they like that it's something new. It's a three chapter series, really focused on sort of community adventure, but also having good competition. So we've got an incredibly competitive field with all of those very strong riders. But we've also got a lot of what I would call, you know, community people, and we are publishing on our Instagram profiles of different riders. So if you've taken a look at it, you'll see that there is a range of different profiles and more to come. We're just sort of moving through it as we have time to get all of that together.
And it's a great pleasure to get to know some of these people, get to know a little bit more about them, you know. A lot of the people in the race already know who we are. They've met us in different races.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first time we met Neil Copeland was at the end of a 4,000K race where we actually decided to chase the dots. So we picked him, waved at him, cheered him on, and then I think we did the same a few miles later.
I was riding through Bulgaria and I'd just come through a rainstorm and it was not what I was expecting. And then Ian and Ingeborg and these three kids were all cheering me on at the side of the road. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. So,
Oh, well, that's exciting. I'm excited to see more people come. Yeah, 150 is a lot to get up with social media presence for sure.
And sorry to expand on that. As Ingeborg said, lots of community leaders, so people who are really well known in their respective countries, in their respective regions, and we have quite a few different race organisers or ORDAX organisers who are naturally very well known, and it is a pleasure to get to know them, but also have them come to our race.
It's a great honor when race organizers choose to want to do your race. So that's something we've really enjoyed, and actually it's been great. Many people we know, but many people we have got to know through starting to organize this. So I think I said at the beginning, in many respects, we might have chosen to just race other people's races rather than set this up, if we think about the time and the energy that needs to go into it. But all the people we've got to know and had a reason to actually, you know, just engage with on a more close level since then, that is what makes it really worthwhile to be a race organizer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's something that every race is doing. There are many good race organizers out there that make it also quite personal. But for us, that's been a real pleasure to get to know people better.
Selfish question. So obviously, I have not signed up for chapter one. I'm semi-retired from ultra cycling and moved on, as we talked about, mountain biking, which we'll see how that goes. Anyways, if someone out there, so chapter one's closed, participation, like you can't enter into chapter one anymore. Is that correct?
If pretty much on a first come, first serve basis, if somebody drops out, then we will take people on, especially if they meet, you know, if they are community leaders, you know, they give back to the community, they're very experienced, and we know they're going to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And also underrepresented groups. So we've had a few people who have entered after the application's closed. So it's not completely closed, and it's discretionary.
Ish. Closed-ish. okay.
And especially if any women feel like they are up for a 4,000 kilometer race, we would be very, very happy to
Hey, ladies,
and, you know,
you've heard it
the
here.
Same with other underrepresented.
Okay, great. Chapter one, not for me, but would you be able to do, if you don't do chapter one, are you able to enter into chapter two next year?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, doing chapter two is not predicated on doing chapter one.
Okay, good.
It's just the three chapters are about having a series where we are offering a different route to make the race interesting to riders who are tired of doing the same kind of route through, say, like the Alps, the Balkans, that classic, which is done over and over again. They want to explore new areas, new roads, see new sites,
mm-hmm.
And go to somewhere completely different. So that's what the series is about, and being able to crown the most consistent rider consistent riders of each category over those three years.
Ah, okay. So it is like a championship almost. So now
I'm
going to
put in a vote for an over 50s category then, please.
Yeah.
We may well do.
And you mentioned it was written on the website, it's all road, correct?
There's no mandatory off-road, excepting some Strada Bianchi in the white gravel roads in Tuscany.
Okay.
So there will probably be little bits.
And just to say, those are roads that the pro riders ride on road bikes with road tires. So that shouldn't sort of anyone off.
It's not just the pro riders who do that, but also there's La Roca, where old guys on their vintage 1920s down tube lever skinny tires road bikes, they also ride them as well, and it's a beautiful area, so that's probably why you're going to see some of those classic Tuscan white roads.
Sounds lovely.
But I would add it's self-rooted,
next year,
so
maybe.
It's self-rooted, so should you wish to find off-road options, they are there. I've been looking at my route quite carefully, and there's definitely some options there.
There are some places where it may be interesting to explore, and those who are very good on off-road may find that there are some interesting attempts at cutting off some segments, and that would be interesting to see. But there is nothing mandatory. You really can do this all road. But of course, if someone wants to add some spice and excitement, they can choose to stray off the road.
Although we must stress that if you do choose to go off road with your road bike, or you choose to do hiker bike sections, you need to be prepared for what comes.
Mm-hmm.
You do it at your own risk, we do want everybody to be safe. So know what you're getting into. If you go off the paved track.
Neil, what bike are you planning to do this on?
I will be doing this on my Fairlight Sakan gravel bike.
What, with tires?
Probably 32 or 35. Depends.
rolling resistance.
Yeah, no.
Probably exactly. You know, GP5000s. Gear ratio, probably running a 40 tooth front and an 11 to 46 rear. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think there are definitely some interesting routing possibilities. And that's the joy of a self-routed event, right? Especially when you go through big mountain ranges, because we have valleys and we have passes, and not all of those passes are paved. And gate location plays into that one critically. So yeah, there's definitely some interesting options, but it's really, you're not going to choose an off-road setup for like 10k out of 4000k. So it's going to be a road setup, and anything you would choose to do, or anything I would choose to do, would be appropriate on the 32 mil road tires or the 35 mil road tires that I will be using.
You definitely don't need your mountain bike. Leave it at home.
That is staying at home, for sure.
Well, I'm super excited to dot watch this year. Maybe it's giving me ideas for next year if I can carve out the time to properly train.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, I don't want to wing it anymore, but it always seems to be that's the case with me. I just end up winging these things.
If I could give you any advice, Dawn, it would be don't start training 2 months before the race.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, it's hard to figure. I love a deadline. I just love a deadline. Like, just what binge training we talked about in Gavorg. Yeah.
We're revolutionizing the ultra cycling world with binge training.
Yeah, binge training. I'm like cram season.
I'm not going to get involved in this conversation.
No, I know. Neil is not coaching me for my next mountain bike race. So
I am not an advocate of binge training.
It's necessity sometimes, I think. Yeah, super excited to dot watch now that I know Neil's doing it as well, and Chris, and I'm sure there'll be others pop up that I know of who are doing it. We talked about the race partners. Is there any race partners that you didn't mention that you want to give a shout out to? Because it seems like they're quite heavily involved. Like, I mean, coming from a sports comms background, I'm like, oh, so sometimes it's just a logo on, you know, on materials, but these race partners seem to be very, very involved. So is there anyone else that you want to mention?
So Cyclite from Bavaria, they're a major partner, as are Café du Cycliste in Nice. So both great European brands. You know, we like the local companies who contribute to us. As for others, you know, we can mention we are collaborating very, very closely with many other race organizers and other, you know, smaller companies who are interested in, you know, passionate about ultra cycling. So we've mentioned Madcap, for example, mm-hmm. but we're also collaborating with Deserters Bikers, which we did as a pair, and we DNF'd because we broke down.
We broke our tandem.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then just imagine trying to find someone that will transport your tandem in the middle of the mountains in Spain. That was an adventure in itself. So we're really happy with you know, Café du Cycliste and Cyclite, because they've really bought into the concept, and it really mm-hmm. fits with what they stand for. So it was very nice to be contacted by them, and to find that we really shared so much in how we see the sport moving forward.
Excellent.
Having that personal connection with the people who are involved, mm-hmm. understanding they love ultra cycling, they love the sport, they want to be involved in it. They get what we're trying to do in telling the stories, and in a way they want to be part of the story. So who knows, they may be part of the refuges, they may be there helping out. Mm-hmm. That offers open to any volunteer who wants to get involved. So we have quite a few people who have chosen to help to staff our mandatory points, be they in the Pyrenees or Alps or at the finish. Mm-hmm. A new one for us, was, which we were thinking about, but somebody contacted us, one of the riders contacted us saying that their wife was wanting to volunteer for the finish. And I think that's a great idea that we had previously thought about, and this person made it reality. And I think they are the best volunteers to have because they have the most interest in making riders feel welcome when they mm-hmm. when they finish their 4,000 kilometer journey. They are interested in everybody and hearing their stories and welcoming them mm-hmm. and celebrating that achievement.
I think with any race, it is a journey, and it is the route is such an important part of it. And I this is what excites me. As soon as I saw the concept of the route, where it was likely to take us, that was me sold. I can't wait. I am really looking forward to being there with you guys at the start line in Cartagena, and hopefully making it to the finish line along with all of my coaching clients doing it. And I'm looking forward to the stories. I'm looking forward to the adventure, and being a little elephant on the road.
Yeah. By the way, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole with war elephants. I was looking it up. So I'll link to some of that in the show notes. Which ties into the story. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there any last words, any last thoughts, advice?
We're really looking forward to the event and to all the people we know and those that we will get to know who will mm-hmm. share in this adventure with us. And you know, we're really, now I would say, privileged to have so many people choosing to spend their holidays on something that we think is very exciting. But it's very exciting that so many people share in that.
No, it is super exciting. And yeah, I can just see right now all the friendships and bonds and a whole new community around this race is forming. So that's super exciting to see. And you guys are building something that, you know, people will carry with them forever when they have these experiences, like I do with any race that I have. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And sorry, we went off kind of a long time, but there's lots to chat about when it comes to a new race. And yeah, it's just really wonderful to see people in the community developing these races based on all the experience and knowledge that, you know, you guys have got on bikes, on a tandem. So yeah, congrats for setting it up, and really looking forward to seeing it come to life this year.
Hello, my name is Saz, and I'm from the UK. I'm currently living in England in the Midlands. I chose Via Race because, mostly it was logistics. It worked out with my term times and my exams, because I'm in medical school. So I wanted to try and fit something into the summer break. And also, it goes through countries that I know are really beautiful to cycle in. I tried to do the Transcontinental Race last year and made it just under 3,000K before I had to scratch. So I want to be able to do something of that distance and actually complete it. And Via seemed like a really nice way to do it because I'm familiar with all the countries that it goes through, so I don't have to worry about kind of not knowing what the currency is, not knowing what language is spoken, and then also being able to do things like the Alps and the Pyrenees, like super tough obviously, but it just looks like it's going to be a really beautiful route and a fun race to do. Basically, I'm most looking forward to probably mostly going through and doing the cycling and seeing everything. It's one of the best ways to travel, really, is by bike. You just get to see so many cool little areas that you wouldn't if you were going as a tourist. Because some of the route previews that they've shown just look absolutely gorgeous. I also think I'm kind of looking forward to the pain. I think if you do like ultra distance bikepacking, you do have to be a little bit masochistic in some way, because it's not like the most relaxing way to spend your summer. But I'm always really curious as to how it's going to go. Pretty excited just for all of the experiences that I'm going to have, and I'm sure for a lot of things that I don't even anticipate.
Hello, I'm Olivier Cam. I'm from North London, but now I'm based on the edge of the French Alps between Lyon and Geneva. Everyone just calls me Ollie. I chose Via Race as I had some contact with Ingeborg and Ian, and I liked the idea of what they was doing and wanted to support them. Plus, it's my three favourite countries, Spain, France and Italy. It's, in my mind, it's like doing three Grand Tours all in one go. So, yeah, I'm super excited, looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting some other riders from all different places and backgrounds, and us riding across those three countries, day in, day out, some big distances, and pretty much all on paved roads, which I like. I don't really like going off-road, as I used to race BMX for years, and I just like roads these days. You know, a proper road race. That's one of the reasons why I've chosen Via Race.
My name is Ben James. I am from York in the UK, but now live in Warwickshire. An interesting historical fact about York: since the Via Race relates to Hannibal and the Romans, York is where Emperor Constantine was informed they had become emperor. I chose the Via Race this year because it is something new, exciting. It's all on road and through some of my favourite countries and parts of them I've not visited before or for a long time. I am most looking forward to meeting new people, seeing new places, making new stories, and eating pizza pasta in Italy morning, noon, and definitely at night.
If you like this episode, why not give us a little kudos? 5 stars only, wherever you're listening to this podcast. And remember, sharing is caring. Thank you for listening.